Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hi, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Steve Frisket from Muleshoe, Texas.
I was hoping you would say that again. I just love the sound of Muleshoe, Texas.
Muleshoe, Texas.
What's the story behind that?
Well, there's a big statue of Pete the Mule.
Oh.
And so rather than me just blow it for you,
uh-huh,
you just got to come to Muleshoe and read the inscription on the bottom. It tells the whole story of Pete the Mule.
Okay. And
Muleshoe, Texas.
And you've got a cowboy church right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Muleshoe Cowboy Fellowship.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. So there you go.
There you go.
Invitation two. All right. We're here at the National Western Stock Show for part two of your message. Excuse me, that's my spot.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What are you going to say today? What's
Well, we're just talking about everybody's got their spot. And if you don't get in your spot, somebody's going to have to do your spot for you.
Okay.
And God created us all to have a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked about last week, whether you're sitting in a sale barn, you're sitting in the church, everybody knows where your spot is.
Right.
Now go outside the building and get in your spot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fall in line and do what God has called you to
Amen.
Do. That's really
Amen.
Good. That's very good. So we're here at the 113th annual National Western Stock Show in Denver, Colorado. We're going to have some wonderful singing. We're going to have some wonderful preaching. You don't want to miss it. Sit back, relax. Welcome to Cowboy Church. Let's go to the Lord, leave all of our pressures behind at the door. Let's just come before Him.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, blessed Redeemer and friend. Oh, what a thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of man. Oh, you rescue the souls of man. Counselor, comforter, keeper, the spirit we long to embrace. Have you the way, and you are the one that we praise, you are the one we adore, and you give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
So could you stand up with me? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the snow that Denver has gotten. Thank you for the moisture, and I ask you to spread it all across to those who are in need. Father, we love you that you can rain on us by your Spirit this morning. Lord, I ask you to remind us to leave our troubles, our stuff, our junk, even in our purse, in our pocket, but outside that door so that we can hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Almighty, infinite Savior, you're faithfully loving your poor own. And here in our weakness, you find us falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. And you are the one that we praise. You hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And you are the one that we praise, and you are the one we adore. And you give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Father God, I'm trusting you to do the work in all of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you get seated, I want you to turn around and introduce yourself to somebody, would you? There you go.
This next song I'm going to do is a medley of How Deep the Father's Love for Us and How Great Thou Art. And both of these songs are just two of my favorites, because if you really listen to the words of how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure, it's just so humbling, and it's just so amazing, and that God would send his son to save a wretch like me and to save a sinner like me. So if you guys know this one, please feel free to sing along.
And take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
Let me tell you something right now. Sin will jerk you out of your spot faster than anything. Sin will get a hold of you and put you on a road you didn't plan on being on, and it'll take you further than you ever expected to go. And there's only one way out of it. So finally, one night in 1995, I pulled my pickup off the side of the road going home from horse sale, and I started praying. I wasn't a non-believer. I knew there was a God out there somewhere. I just hadn't met him yet. That night, I met him in my pickup, 1 o'clock in the morning, Elk City, Oklahoma, on the westbound side of I-40. I couldn't draw you a picture of him, but I guarantee you he got in my truck. And Jesus put my foot up on the rock, and he started walking with me. And we began to figure things out. Finally made my career and everything about make sense. I was ready to quit. This merry-go-round of make more, get more, spend more, make more, get more, spend more was not making any sense to me. And now all of a sudden it began to make sense because something was flowing into me and something was flowing out. I didn't get it all on the first swing. He's given you a spot and he's given you a place. He's given you a kitchen table. He's given you a family. He's given you something to do. And he wants to do it with you. I want to read to you in the Bible right quick out of Acts 17. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. Because as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription, 'The Unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." I want you to listen to that. The old Saul of Tarsus, who is now the Apostle Paul, encounters some really smart people, and he begins to explain the God they don't know. He doesn't mention the cross. He doesn't mention sin. He doesn't mention heaven. He doesn't mention hell. He doesn't mention an immaculate conception. Later on in the scripture, he does talk of the resurrection. But he talks of a God who created heaven and earth and gave men a place to dwell. He gave us nations. He gave us a promise of life in the earth. And he said, in Christ Jesus, you will find that flow. You will find your life. In him, you will have your life, your breath, and your being
right where you're at. I've given you a place to be. Here's your spot. If you go back and examine scriptures that begin in Genesis 12 with Abraham himself, when God encounters him in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, and Genesis 17. And God comes to Abram one day and he said, I promise you as many generations as there is stars of the sky or sands of the dirt. I promise you nations. I promise you a family. I'm going to give you a plot of land. It'll take about 400 years for you to get it, but I'm going to give you a place to live. Let me tell you something. We've been given a place to live. Everybody here has got a kitchen table somewhere. We've been given a responsibility for the generations that come behind us. You know, I got saved 23 years ago in the cab of my truck. I didn't get saved to go to heaven. Yeah, I'm going. I'm good. I hope you are too. If you're not, it's your fault now because we already told you about Jesus. I got saved because I was going to live. And I've been living. And I've been finding the flow of my life. Let me give you some good news today because it's really difficult for people who come to Jesus and want to serve the Lord and do it like the rest of us. Put your britches on one leg at a time and go outside, real life, real Jesus. You know, if you hadn't noticed yet, I'm a guy that knows a little bit about the Bible and I don't mind talking about it. So the next thing you know, everybody wants you to be a preacher. Well, glory, Honolulu, I want to go there. But I'm a horse sale auctioneer. How does that slipper fit Cinderella's foot? I'm a horse sale auctioneer. And the Lord is teaching me how to do that with a flow that comes out of my life. To make a difference and expose the kingdom of God in the flow of my life. Let me tell you, I'm almost 59. To some of you, that's not very old. To some of you, that's a long ways away. I'm telling you, I've never been so excited about my life and my hope and my future. Excited about my family. I'm telling you, my family moves me. Because I love them from the top to the bottom, boy. And I'll tell you, they make my life good. I don't want nobody taking my spot. It's my spot. I'm going to take my spot and I'm going to get in the flow and I'm going to let God flow through me in my spot. Listen, we got to do this as a nation. Yes, we're a constitutional republic that's done by representation and I get all that. But you know what? We're also an accumulation of kitchen tables. And somewhere something's got to start flowing out of the kitchen. Something's got to start flowing out of our everyday lives. Somewhere America's got to come back to a place of assuming her spot. Contrary to how some stoic philosophers may believe, this is a Christian nation. And I'm not afraid to say it. This is a Christian nation. You don't have to be a Christian to vote here, work here, pay taxes here. But I'll promise you, if you'll read the documents of this country, you will understand that this Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence were framed through the lens of the Bible. They were, yes, give the Lord a hand clap. Framed through the lens of the Bible, this is a Christian nation. I can tell you unequivocally today that if the laws of this land don't fit your religion, you're in the wrong spot. It's the truth. But we also have a moral obligation. First of all, to the generations, because the generations are the seed of a nation. We have an obligation as a Christian nation because all other nations address us as a Christian nation. Do you know why that's necessary? Because we've been set up by God to stand with the nation of Israel. We've been set up by God to be light in the world. We've been set up by God to not lose our saltiness, but to be the salt of the earth. We've been set up by God to stand strong and firm for justice and stand up for injustice all over the world, the United States of America. We're the go-to people. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the go-to guy. Apart from him, we're absolutely nothing. Do y'all know that Benjamin Franklin, at one of the very first congressional conventions, When our House and, and Senate were all divided, and they was arguing and carrying on. We didn't have all the news media and stuff then. They boarded up the windows so that there wouldn't be any leaks. Finally, one day, Benjamin Franklin walks in, and he cites the 121st Psalm. And he said, if God's not in the building of the house, then the house is built in vain. He said, we should get together and pray. I want to encourage you today. If your house is not built, if the Lord's not in the building of your house, you run a real good chance of somebody else getting you a spot. You run a real good chance of not falling into the flow of your life and the flow of the kingdom of God. You run a real good chance. Hold out this Bible for the generations and the moral compass of this country and those to come. As I get ready to close this morning, I told you, I said, there's one thing will tangle you up and snatch it away from you. You know, everybody wants to talk about the devil making you do it, or the devil did this, or the devil did that. Let me tell you what really messes people up. Sin. Sin. We don't talk about that anymore in America because people get offended when you get up in their business. Jesus Christ came and died a gruesome death and rose a glorious resurrection to fix your sin and to give you new life. He did it for me. He'll do it for you. I want to ask you this morning, if just to think to yourselves, are you living in the flow of your life? Are you living out your dreams, your hopes, your desires? Do you know what your gifts and your talents are? Do you know how God's working in you? Are you renewing your mind with the Word of God? Are you handing off the covenant you have with Jesus to those coming behind you? Because those are all really good questions. Or do you just feel like the guy that's going up the proverbial creek and you can't find your paddle? Are your arms getting tired? Are you sick of just treading water? Well, this morning, here's what you do. It's a word we don't use that much anymore in Christianity either. It's called repent. Repent means not apologize. Repent means turn around. Turn around. If you're swimming upstream and you're just, you're just out of gas, turn around. Call on the Lord right where you're at. His name's Jesus Christ. He'll meet you right where you're at. He'll meet you right here this morning if he hadn't already. The Bible says that he's faithful and just to forgive all who would call on his name. The love of Jesus, now I'm telling you, it'll fix a lot of stuff. So I'm going to pray with you this morning as we get ready to close. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. More than anything, Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. That, Lord, you would breathe your kingdom into us through your Holy Spirit and your word. And that your kingdom would flow through our lives and our lives would flow in your kingdom. That, Lord, we would be responsible for the nation we live in. And, Lord, for all of us who have maybe missed the mark just a tick. There's some of us in here today, Lord, that just want to say, Jesus, will you forgive me? I pray today, Lord, that you do a clean sweep today. That no one would leave undone, that everyone would receive everything that they expected to hope from you today, and that, God, you make yourself known. Lord, we thank you for the covenant you've given us through your blood, the hope of life and life after death. In Jesus' name, amen.